What is going on, South Carolina and all the ships at sea? How are you today, producer Ramona?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm wonderful. How are you today, William Quackenbush?
I'm doing great.
Quack is hanging around for a segment, talk a little ACC football. You know, I heard you on my way in talking about sort of this muddy middle and in the ACC, and you were getting lots of suggestions from texters about this team or that team, and I think you're spot on about all that. I don't know how you really evaluate any of those teams. Now, the other interesting point I think you made was, could Clemson be a part of that group? And we don't really know the answer to that. I mean, we're doing the vibe thing with Chris Orvizino right now. We're doing the vibe thing in a way with Chad Morris too. I mean, you know, again, you know how it was, Quack. You know how it was on day one when the Chad Morris trial balloon was floated. It was universally shot down. And it was like a few days later, it started to change. And now, you know, everyone's doing the vibe thing with it. But is it real? I don't know. We're going to find out. But I don't know if LSU is real either. I sort of agree with Will Vandevoort. I can't remember where I put LSU in my preseason rankings. I don't remember, but my reason for believing all along that Clemson was going to compete in this game with LSU is not so much what Clemson was going to be, but it's what I think LSU might be. I'm not sold, particularly at that point in the season. I mean, if LSU turns into anything, it's going to be like game four, game five, or game six when they turn into something. You know, there's this dude on Twitter, and his name escapes me right now, but he's an LSU guy, and he's pretty popular, I guess, in LSU circles. And he was talking about Sam Leavitt. I know we're supposed to be talking about the ACC. He was talking about Sam Leavitt, and he said, you know, he's really learning the offense. And he said, you know, he thinks he'll have the offense down by game three or so. Okay, well, the Clemson game is before game three. So, I mean, what exactly are you saying? I don't know. You're saying he's not going to be the master of the offense in game one? That makes sense to me that he's not. But, again, so how is LSU? Again, when I gave it out, it was 12.5. I don't know what it is today. What is it, 10, 11? What is it today?
It's probably, I saw 10.5. 9.5 is what I'm looking at right now.
9.5. I gave it out at a really good spot at 12.5. It might have even been 13 when I gave it out, because that was months ago. It was like
9.5, 10.5. There's a couple like -110s at 10.5.
Okay. But on the ACC thing, I mean, I just think there's an awful lot of unknowns. There's a lot of teams that look like they're pretty good. There are a lot of teams that have good quarterback play, as you correctly mentioned. And therefore, they could exceed what the expectation level is for them, but they can't all exceed it. Some will and some won't. The question is, which will? I mean, I buy the Cal thing because, again, I think Saka Pulitelli might be the best pure passer in America. Plus, I think he's unbelievably composed. Nothing flusters him. I really like the Adam Muhammad addition that they made. I think he's going to really boost that run game. I think that was a good trade-off for them. So I'm pretty high on them, except that, you know, they play 3,000 miles away from where they live, you know, and that's always going to be a concern as long as those teams are playing there.
If they're playing in the Pac-12, by the way, that's like a 9-win team. Because I think, because Lupoi's a defensive guy. And so you've got all these things you like on offense, and we haven't even got to his side of the ball. Where I kind of like some of the additions there, but as you said, the travel and all. There's no team that's been able, without being absolutely above the fray elite from a roster standpoint, that has been able to defeat the time zone situation that they have.
No. That move to the Big 12 didn't serve West Virginia well in any way, shape, or form. You know, that's part of the nature of what we do now. You know, it's all about the student-athlete, Quack, but we have them play 3,000 miles away. It's all about the student-athlete.
Hey, but we take tutors on the plane, though.
Right, we care so much about the student-athlete, but we're going to have you play games 3,000 miles away. But what about mom and dad? Oh, screw them. That's the way it is. But I really don't know. I mean, I think you can make a case for all of those teams that, that people mentioned, all the teams you mentioned. I think you and the Texters were all over it. I know all the personnel. Obviously, I have an illness, but I look at those teams. I'm just not sure. I have a feeling that Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh are both going to be better than people think. How much better? I don't know. I think it's a tough call. But if somebody told me, well, Georgia Tech is going to turn out to be better than people think, and they're going to have an 8-win season or something, is that possible? Yes. They have two elite running backs. I think Mendoza's going to be pretty good. I think they feel pretty good about that. I guess my biggest question there is, what is their offense going to look like? I mean, are we're not talking about the Buster Faulkner offense anymore. What are we? Are we talking about a pro-style offense? Is that what we're talking about? I don't know. I don't want to lose the dynamics of that run game because I think it was really difficult for people to defend, and they have two dynamic runners.
I agree with you on Georgia Tech. I think there are coaches. So we talk about coaches and quarterbacks. There are coaches who have proven to a degree to be impervious to the shifting sands of rosters. Brent Key, to this point, is one of those, but he is dealing with a kind of change that he has not had to deal with. It's a similar situation to Manny Diaz, where I feel Manny Diaz is another one that Duke has pivoted. And Duke has a program. Like, but the money you, people, they
but,
pivoted.
But you haven't sounded, in what I've heard from you before, especially high on this Georgia Tech team.
No.
You didn't. You thought the ACC media might have had them too high. I don't really, because I think those two running backs are really good, but I'd like to know how you're using them.
Yeah, exactly
without,
right.
Without knowing exactly how you're using them, are you still going to attack the edges? Are you still going to have all the window dressing? Are you simply going to hand them the ball?
Well, in Mendoza, it's almost like the opposite question we're asking about his brother. You know, we're asking, can he be better than Curtis Rourke? It's, can he even closely, can Alberto Mendoza closely approximate Haynes King,
yeah,
who was the offensive player of the year in the league. And then I still have questions about the defense at Georgia Tech as well, where they really smoke and mirrors that thing last year. Even if they're a little better, they're still not great. Receiver talent's a little down. There's a lot of questions, and the schedule is hard. I mean, so they, you know, if they come out of Colorado and Tennessee 0-2, I don't think they are, but if they come out of Colorado and Tennessee 0-2, do they have the type of program that can, you know, pull themselves up by the bootstraps and find 7 wins? I don't know about that.
Well, and you know, and you just bounce around the league, and you even go to Syracuse. I mean, there appears to be a Syracuse with Angeli and a Syracuse without Angeli, and they are two completely different things. And now, again, we haven't seen Angeli in a long time since the Achilles tear. He's had plenty of time, I think, for that injury to heal now, and I expect him to be really good. Now, they lost their 5-star recruit receiver, which doesn't help them. He was going to be a big impact player immediately. But I'm pretty high on Fran Brown, and I'm pretty high on Angeli. And so, at the very least, you know, I gave them out as an over. I think it was also 4.5. It was that same North Carolina number. By the way, it's annoying how North Carolina gets to 4.5. Just as an aside, I mean, what a disaster! I mean, I'm sorry, I don't buy any of it. You know, just we need to talk about that for 1 second. I don't buy any of that. His first mate is allegedly dealing with sexual harassment charges. His general manager, his son has an issue that's unrelated, medical or something. Bobby Petrino, the red-faced motorcycle guy. So is the concubine going to go for motorcycle rides now? I don't like any element of that. I mean, that doesn't even sound like a real thing. If you actually think about the component parts of that thing, I mean, that doesn't sound like something that's real. That sounds like something that you'd see on some comedy show about a football team. not a real thing. I mean, not a 77-year-old and a woman who claims to be 20-something who might actually be in her 50s.
Holy Lord.
I don't see it, Guac. She doesn't look 20-something to me. If she is, that life in the sex shop has really took a toll on her.
Man. You know what's funny? A lot of women keep celebrating their 29th birthday.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking maybe you're in that situation. I want to see what happens when Bobby Petrino is the thing you bring in to really calm everything, to like your he's your order in the chaos.
And Quark, if he's going to be the difference maker, then the question I would have is, when's the last time he made a difference in anything in the world of college football? When is the last time?
He's been on a lot of fired staffs.
Right. He's not made a difference in anything in forever. That ship has sailed. You know, once upon a time, yeah, there's already too much once upon a time on that team. And I get another once upon a timer. No. I don't see those numbers that you were reading about, you know, they're favored to win this, or this is an 85% chance to win at UConn. How on earth is North Carolina an 85% chance to win at UConn? They're an 85% chance to lose at UConn. I mean, I know UConn lost a bunch. So did North Carolina. And UConn was better than North Carolina. What on earth would make anybody think North Carolina is going to UConn to win? I don't know if they can beat East Tennessee State at home. I think they suck. I think you have one defensive end who can play. You can have the rest of them. Billy Edwards is my worst-rated ACC quarterback. He's dead last.
I was going to say, he's got – because I think Davis Warren's better than him. Warren's next to last.
They both suck, yeah. Yeah. Edwards was last for me, and Davis Warren was second to last.
Yeah, I feel like everybody else is pretty much above that, and then those guys are fighting in the undercard of all undercards.
Exactly. They're both square at the bottom. I love Gronkemeyer, and so I'm actually starting to buy Virginia Tech more and more. And I am sort of starting to buy Pittsburgh a little bit. I think we have always a tendency to undervalue Pittsburgh. And then they come out on the field and they pass the eye test, and they still have, even when they lose guys, they still have dudes on defense. They have a talented running back. We'll see what Mason Heinschel is. Is he the guy from the first half of last year, or is he the guy from the second half of last year? Questions to be asked and answered, but I wouldn't really be. And Florida State to me is like, they're one of the most interesting teams in the whole country, because I could absolutely see them tilt either way. From a skill position talent standpoint, they have a hyper talented running back in Chroma. They have an insanely gifted receiver in Deuce Robinson. They have legitimate offensive skill. I just don't know about the rest of it. And the schedule is really difficult. I mean, very, very difficult. I think that Florida State-SMU game, Clark, I think that game is an absolute must-have for Florida State. Not only is it a conference game early in the year, but that changes the momentum of the season, gets the fans back involved if they win. If they lose, that whole fan base is checking out for the rest of the year, and things going right in the tank.
And the team is doing it. We've seen the team quit multiple. That program, because I agree with you, the backfield and wide receiver combination, you just put that out there with nothing else. That's as good as anybody in the league, maybe except Miami. It's really, really good. What are they doing with them? What do they believe in doing with them? I said this before last year. Okay, you want to go 3-3-5? That's awesome. You want to do this with your quarterback? That's awesome. But you don't believe in that. They have no gravity. They have no belief system as a program that can ground them if anything goes wrong.
I have Deuce Robinson as my, I think, number 7 receiver nationally, and he could be higher. It's a really talented group. And I have Chroma as my number 7 running back nationally, and quite honestly, I think he should be higher. But they have to give him the ball, which is just a complete mystery to me. Because if I'm coaching that team, I am giving it to him 250 times until he begs me to stop giving it to him. That's what I'm doing. Last year they tried to play 3 and 4 running backs. I don't get it. You do the defense a favor every time you don't give that guy the ball. This is a 6'2", 225-pound back with long speed, and he has the ability to make people miss in space. I just think he's truly an elite talent, but I'm shocked he's there. I'm shocked he didn't go back to Georgia, recruit him, or somewhere else. I'm shocked he's there.
I look forward to Wisner getting 25 carries in the opener.
Yeah, see, that can't happen. I like Wisner. Okay, I think that's a good move for Florida State as a supplemental piece to Chroma. If they think that Wisner is better than Chroma, then it's going to be a long year. If they're going to play keep away from their best player, it's going to be a long year. Who else? What else do you have in the ACC? What about Virginia?
Virginia. I think the bones of that program are good, but so much of last year was quarterback, though. It was. And can Bo Pribula, is he a winning force like Chandler Morris was?
See, I mean, I think Chandler Morris was pretty good, but I don't think he was great. And I don't love Bo Prabula at all. Now, I'm going to give him this, okay? He may have been playing with injury last year. I'm going to hope for his standpoint, from his standpoint, he was. Because, honestly, the second half of the year, he threw the ball like a 10-year-old. I mean, he literally had no arm talent whatsoever. He had no zip on the ball, nothing. And it didn't look good. Now, he is an athlete. He can run around and make some plays, and he can give you some of that same kind of stuff maybe that Morris did. But I think it's a question. And, you know, if you look at Virginia over the last couple of years, they play a lot of close games. A couple of years ago, those games didn't go in their favor. Last year, they sort of did. What's it going to be this year? I'll tell you this, Quag. If Florida State beats SMU, they're 100% beating Virginia.
I agree with that. You know, the NC State-Virginia game is kind of big.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
I mean, I said, you know, I gave out NC State over 7.5 today. If they win at Virginia, they're definitely going over that. And it's only a field goal game. It's 3.5, I think, is the spread
what
there
if they
in
don't?
Charlottesville.
Like, I know NC State's schedule is relatively easy. What's their schedule? Because, like, 8 to me sounds like where they always are. And,
yes.
And they did lose a lot of talent. Now, they've replaced some of it. But I know the schedule is certainly doable. I know you got to go too, but
I'll give you that real quick because I know we got to run. They got Richmond after Virginia, Richmond at Vanderbilt, App State, Louisville.
Do they win at Vanderbilt?
Game 3 of Curtis is better than game 9 of Curtis.
Well, but are we not with Clark Lee yet? Where we are with Key?
Elliott and
with Key?
When Key? Probably.
I mean, does he not deserve some respect based on what he's been able to do there? I mean, we're not going to say it's all Diego Pavia.
I think a lot of it is the renegade takeover from New Mexico State. I do think they imported a lot of New Mexico State, and how much of that left with Pavia?
Well, he's saying that he lost some frontline talent, but he's saying that this team has better depth than any team he's had.
I'm buying some of that. I don't think they're going to totally tank. They got App State, Louisville, Wake Forest, at Stanford, off an open date, which I think matters. Cal at home, Duke at home, Syracuse at home, at Florida State, at North Carolina. I mean, I'm thinking, if they win at Virginia, and...
What if they don't?
What if they don't? Then at Vanderbilt's at play, Louisville's at play, at Florida State, and at UNC. I think they'll quit on Norvell by November 21st. I'm not as worried about at Florida State. I think they win their last 6 games.
I think SMU Florida State is maybe one of the most underrated ACC games of the year. I think it's a game that could tilt a season for either team. SMU's going to be good regardless. They're going to be good. They've proven that. Lashley's a proven commodity. And you'd have to give Lashley certainly an edge in that coaching battle. But if Florida State somehow wins that game, and they did beat Alabama at home, if they win that game, then they absolutely should have beat Virginia last year. I watched that game. They absolutely gave that game away. If they were to beat SMU and suddenly get some positive mojo, the Alabama game is meaningless. It's not a conference game. If they come back and win another league game and they're now 2-0 in league, then they have something going into that murderer's row stretch that they might be able to survive that stretch. Lose that game to SMU, they can't survive any of it. It's like Mr. Bunny wrote here. He said they could go 10-2 or 3-9. I agree with that.
That's right.
I agree with that. So Kwok, we just spent 20 minutes and determined nothing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Happy offseason.
Yeah.
Have a great
Thank
show.
You, Kwok. We'll be back.
The Roar FM isn't just your go-to radio station. We're Burn Digital, your full-service digital advertising agency. Elevate your brand with cutting-edge tactics like connected TV, video, and audio streaming, and geofencing, all data-driven to reach your ideal audience. Ready to take your advertising to the next level? Go to the Advertise tab on the RoarFM.com to email General Manager John Hennis. Make your advertising do more with Burn Digital, a part of the Roar FM, where innovation meets results.
Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Twin Peaks. It doesn't get better than Twin Peaks for a sports fan. It's the ultimate destination for a sports fan. It's Twin Peaks. pigs. Are you kidding me? Where are you going to watch all the action? Major League Baseball playoffs are going to be coming. Where are you going to watch it? I mean, football season is right around the corner. Where are you watching the games? It's the ultimate rustic lodge man cave. It just doesn't get better than Twin Peaks. 80 high. I think we're going to put up a poll. It's going to be a very different kind of poll. Before we get to any of that, I thought people would find this interesting. I found this posted on Brenna Green's site. And this is, we have that audio, Ramona? Just checking?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to open it, but I'm doing it now.
Okay. I thought people would find this interesting. This is Mateo Uyunglele talking about his dad and social media. And now, remember, as every Clemson fan knows, there were a lot of issues with Daddy Uyunglele related to Clemson, related to the things he posted, all of those type of things. There was I always saw this back and forth stuff between the Clemson fan base and Daddy Uyunglele over lots of things. And he seemed to inject himself. I think people felt he injected himself in a lot of places that maybe he didn't belong.
Like a helicopter dad or something?
Yes, yes, like a helicopter dad. So this is his other son. This is Mateo Uyunglele addressing the media about Daddy Uyunglele.
So I'm going to be honest. I feel like the most posts I would see by myself is from my dad, so... I didn't follow my dad, but I muted his account, so I don't see all his posts. But, you know, I talk to him a lot, so, you know. But just his posts, like, I don't need to, you know, he's going to post a lot. It's always been like that, and I'm not mad at him, you know. It helped me get here to where I am today, but, you know, just like Dunce said, I don't need to see all that.
He muted his dad on social media.
I saw that.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
So Mateo Uyunglele says, Dad, it's football season. If you're not going to shut up, I have to mute you because I can't be reading the crap you post every day.
Yeah, I was glad you said that about him being a helicopter dad because when I heard it, I was like, why is he slamming his dad?
Yeah.
So, but I didn't know he interfered.
Well, and to be honest, he did it in a really polite way. You know what I mean? I mean, he why do you seem puzzled?
Because he's slamming his dad.
No, he really didn't.
At the press conference.
No, he really didn't. If you listen to what he says, he actually says the opposite. He credits his dad for...
in the end, when he gets done.
Where he got to, he said, I talk to him, you know, all the time. So it's not like he's breaking communication with them. He just doesn't want to be distracted by those stupid, ridiculous, outlandish things that the old man posts, which he does. We've all seen it. We've all seen the kind of crap he posts.
Okay. Well, until you said that, I didn't realize that.
Play it again.
So I'm going to be honest. I feel like the most posts I would see by myself is from my dad, so... I didn't follow my dad, but I muted his account, so I don't see all his posts. But, you know, I talk to him a lot, so, you know. But just his posts, like, he's going to post a lot. It's always been like that. And I'm not mad at him, you know. It helped me get here to where I am today. But, you know, just like Dunce said, I don't need to see all that.
I mean, I think he was respectfully just saying he can't. He's got to focus on football season. He doesn't want to see the insane things his dad is posting.
If his dad is interfering in his game and everything, I get all that. But when I first heard it, I'm just telling you.
SEC hater says DJ said the same.
Father.
SEC hater says DJ said the same thing back when he was at Clemson. Right. You can see it. Dexter said, "Read Big Dave's reply and see what I mean." Made it all about himself. Big Dave replied to Mateo and said he's just staying focused or something like that, but ended the tweet with a line about how well he raised him, brought it back to himself, LMAO. Yeah, see, that's it. That's it. I mean, look, listen, these are adult grown males, all right? They don't need daddy fighting their business or going off the cuff and saying ridiculous things. They don't want it. They don't want it. And look, I got to give him credit to a degree, because whatever you think about DJ Uiagalelei, whatever you think about Mateo Uiagalelei, they seem like, honestly, they seem like great people. They seem like respectful kids who have grown up the right way. So somehow, whether dad interferes or whether dad's a social media celebrity or not, or anti-celebrity, however you choose to view that, I still think that the kids turned out pretty well. You know, I think they turned out pretty well. But I don't begrudge the kids from saying, look, we got to stay away from this. You know, this does not, it's not helpful. I don't think the things that dad said when DJ was here helped DJ in any way, shape, or form. I think it hurt him. And I think Mateo Uiagalelei is saying, you know, I'm not going to let myself be hurt by those same things. So I think that's, Texter said, must have taken after mom. Maybe. Oh, look, Ramona Brooke has a new baby granddaughter. How about that?
Ah, oh, nice.
Look at that.
Congratulations.
At that. That's awesome. Congratulations, Brooke. That is absolutely awesome. Now, look at the baby picture, Ramona. She looks comfortable, but she also looks like she's looking for something else. Like, okay, I got my lawn chair, because it looks a little like a lawn chair. Do you see the photo? It looks a little like a lawn chair. I'm going to call it a lawn chair.
It does look like a lawn chair.
But it's like she's looking for something. Like she's looking for her red wine or something.
Yeah, she looks annoyed.
I got
the picture. Yeah. What is that? Like,
I got
the
my chair.
Picture?
Right. Can we change the music station?
Yeah, where's my drink with the umbrella?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what I think she's looking for. SEC hater says, I had to unfollow the dad. I followed him when DJ was at Clemson. His posts are annoying as hell. That's what I'm talking about. So I think that's all Mateo's saying. He's saying, look, man, I love my dad. I wouldn't have been here without him and that stuff, but I can't let my season be distracted by all the nonsense he posts on social media.
I understand that now.
Yeah.
I'm just telling
right,
you.
Right, right. No, no. Yeah, when I gave you the video, I didn't have time to explain it to you in advance. So, yeah. Jason Columbia says, those kids seem pretty well grounded considering the nutcase that's their dad. See, that's what I'm talking about. I think there's something to that. So yeah, I think that's pretty much spot on. So the kids have turned out pretty well, I think. And Mateo is going to play in the National Football League. Well, DJ's playing in the National Football League for right now. You know, we'll see how long that lasts. But yeah, I mean, maybe that's a real problem, just getting away from dad. Okay, we have lots to get to. We'll pick it up on the other side. You can get in, 654-7627. People always complain you can't get in. Lines have been busy this week, but you can get in right now if you know what you want to talk about. 654-7627. A lot of college football. We're going to go back over some things, some win totals, et cetera. But I have a number of other things I want to get to, including something that sort of popped up on my social media account last night, my Twitter account, X account. Regarding Christopher Vezina, sort of dueling comments by Twitter followers on Vezina that a lot of people jumped in on, and I want to bring that up and discuss a little bit. Let me go ahead, Ron. We'll be back.
What's going on, everybody? Sam Jones here. I'm excited to serve as the lead commentator for the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week presented by Ingalls Markets again this season. As per our tradition, our week one matchup will be Easley at Pickens to kick the campaign off. You can join Grayson Mann and I this Friday night at 7 p.m. for pregame and 7:30 p.m. for kickoff as we start the 2026 high school football season with a bang. The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Canty. Water in the crawl space can sit there for months or years. Standing water in the home can damage the foundation. Offensive play you've ever seen. 2014 Orange Bowl, Taj Boyd throws an interception with 1:30 left in the game. Ohio State seems to have all the momentum. Two plays later, Stephon Anthony says, hold my beer. And I responded to it with this, and because it's just – and that was a great play. I mean, you can pick a million great plays, but from a Clemson standpoint. But one that just sticks out, and I know it was a regular season game, but it was the regular season game. It was the game for seemingly everything. It was arguably the greatest quarterback battle in the history of college football. It was Lamar Jackson v. Deshaun Watson right here, and it was a game for the ages. Just an absolutely insane game. In fact, we made a whole show, which also led to a TV show that followed, and with Mark Childress picking up the idea that we gave him from the episode we did on that show. And again, we covered that entire show, like that entire game, play by play by play, and people loved it because again, it was such an incredible game. But the game ended when Marcus Edman tackled James Quick, and this is what I wrote. I wrote Marcus Edman tackle of James Quick in the greatest quarterback battle in college football history. No way Edman should have made that play. No way James Quick should have been stopped. Somehow Edman made the game-saving play on a short TD. And I added that I should have added that all Quick needed was the first down. Edman stopped him a yard short, and Lamar Jackson still doesn't understand that stop, and with good reason, because I have watched the play a million times. I have no idea really what Quick was doing, and the fact that Marcus Edman, who was basically a part-time player, a backup really, made two enormous plays that year, maybe three enormous plays that year, but none bigger than this. That tackle was impossible. You had the whole field to operate. You had hit Quick on I think it was a shallow cross, if memory serves, and he had all sorts of room to work with. And the only guy who's anywhere near the play that could possibly have saved it was Marcus Edman. And he had to make a one-on-one tackle in space against an athlete that at least in theory was better than him. And somehow he did all that, which I think is just – I think it's one of the great plays, the great individual effort plays in Clemson football history. You can say what you want. Marcus Edman, maybe not – you know, one of the classically great players you think of about Clemson, but he made a classically great play for the ages. A play that, again, no matter how many times you watch it, you just think there's no way. And Lamar Jackson thought the game was over. He thought they had won. Lamar Jackson made the play to win the game, and somehow Marcus Edman brought down James Quick a yard short of the first down. Again, it's one of the singular greatest plays I've ever seen in Clemson football history. It was that big a play, that impossible a play. William Cockrell writes back, insane play, literally and figuratively. It was. It was indeed. And Chris Cooney writes, Edmonds also had the overtime pick against NC State to seal that win. He was a stopper. He certainly was. I mean, again, you don't necessarily think of him as a great player in Clemson history, not as famous as many others, but he made a play that's as famous as any of them. In one of the greatest regular season college football games you'll ever see. Trey, how are you, Trey? Good to have you.
Hey, sir. Good to be here.
Absolutely.
I'm above ground, so that's good. That's always a good thing. I wanted to touch base on a couple of things regarding Christopher Zina. I know yesterday I briefly caught where you said that wasn't being talked about very much, and I agree. And I guess my first thing is addressing the naysayers. And, well, I can't it's kind of a head-scratcher, all the negativity and just piling on Christopher Zina. And I mean, you know, you have a small sample size, but he came in and performed when called upon. And I don't get the borderline hate for him, but I know, you know, the comment I've seen probably most is, well, if he was that good, he would have started over Cade or played more, or whatever. And I, you know, at the surface, yeah, that's true, but in my opinion, and, you know, it was just an observation that with the history of Dabo and starting quarterbacks, he has always been extremely loyal, and it's a double-edged sword. He's almost been extremely loyal to a fault, where he does, which is good for the player, where if they're in a slump, he gives them every opportunity to play themselves out of it and right the ship. And I think there's been some times where I think he's kind of stuck to that a little too long and just should have maybe gone to plan B a little sooner. But, you know, so I think maybe that played into some of Vezina not playing as much, which I thought he should have, and especially the bowl game. But, you know, and the second part is, and I've been animate from day one, I've kind of, you know, I've been a supporter of Christopher, that, you know, and I try not to fall in love with a small sample size like SMU, because as you and fans all well know, that the same happened with DJ at Notre Dame, where there was a small sample size and everybody just fell in love with him. And as we all know, that just never panned out. But with Vezina and my take on him, and I honestly, gut feeling is that he will be one of the surprise players in college football. And just watching, and I know it's a small sample size, but just watching his play against SMU, and, you know, the offense seemed to
slow. I'll tell you what my problem with that okay. is, Trey, and I think you're not wrong about anything you've said, but my one concern about the SMU thing, which I have voiced before, is there was no film on him. Nobody knew who he was. So there was no way to scout Christopher Vezina. And the dilemma that I have is that my hope, like yours, was that we would have seen more from him afterward. In a year where Cade Klubnik wasn't playing well and certainly didn't play well against Penn State, that we would have seen more. And so seen a performance after the SMU game where people had film on him, and to see how he responded accordingly. We were never given that luxury or privilege. And my concern now is that this entire quarterback room has one start, and that concerns me. I just think no matter how long you've been in a system, how much you've learned, how much you've matured physically, emotionally, there's still a reality to the fact that you just haven't played much football.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was kind of going to be on the tail end of my assessment of Azina's, you know, we've seen good things, but where we will probably get a good indicator of what's in store is when, now that they've got video, you know, film on them, and they scheme for them, and, you know, quarterbacks in the past have looked great in a small sample size, but when they are actually, you know, they're the number one guy and defensive scheme for them, some of them rise to the occasion, some fold, and I'm hoping that he rises to the occasion. And just from what I've seen, it's I guess I'm hopefully optimistic. And once you know, we're probably going to find out pretty quick with maybe what we're going to get with him early on, of course, week one. So I'm trying to stay hopefully optimistic, and I've been worried about what you said, there's only one start in the whole quarterback room. So if he struggles, you know, you're going to a true freshman, and it's going to be a sink or swim kind of thing. And it's just hopefully all hands on deck, and they can rally around him.
It sounds like there is some of that going on too. So, hey, Trey, good speaking with you. Excellent job. Yep, thank you. Look, here's what the two Twitter followers, two X followers, wrote. Two different views. CD suggested that, quote, no great Clemson quarterback had to wait 3 years to play meaningful snaps. And then Champagne Poppy wrote that he thinks Clemson just needs a solid game manager and that Christopher Vezina can be that. And I said, two different views, who's more correct? Now, Jeff Bendick raised an interesting point. He basically suggests, well, he wasn't sitting behind nobody. He sat behind a five-star guy that had produced a big season. Now, that's true, but it's not true last year. The true part last year was it's still a five-star guy, but he did not produce a big season. He produced an awful season. So there was certainly an opportunity for Christopher Vezina to play last year. And definitely after the SMU game. I mean, look, of all the things I bet Clemson wishes they could run back now, one I think they wish they could run back is that they had got Vezina more time after the SMU game. Because there wasn't a lot. I mean, there was still a bowl game to be played. And, again, Cade did not play well in that bowl game. I think Vezina could have played in that game. But we're here. The one thing I will say is this. If you're looking for the glass half full thing, you could look at the Alabama situation with Ty Simpson, who, again, seemed to be out of sight, out of mind for 2 years and then just showed up last year and really played well until the thing started to fall apart from a team standpoint in the second half of the year. So, you know, maybe Christopher Vezina is just a well-kept secret who's going to play well. We'll see. We'll be back.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
The Roar FM isn't just your go-to radio station. We're Burn Digital, your full-service digital advertising agency. Elevate your brand with cutting-edge tactics like connected TV, video, and audio streaming, and geofencing, all data-driven to reach your ideal audience. Ready to take your advertising to the next level? Go to the Advertise tab on theroarfm.com to email General Manager John Hennis. Make your advertising do more with Burn Digital, a part of the Roar FM, where innovation meets results.
Let me tell you about my friends Ashley and Platt Moore at AMPM Farms, the massive working farm in Fountain Inn between Fountain Inn and Woodruff. True farm-to-table market with complete traceability. You want to know where your food comes from.